holy moly, the kids left. Where is everybody at? What's up? I look to your neighbor, say, I'm glad you're here. Just tell them right now. Tell them right now. Say, I'm glad you're here. Let them know it. It's a lot of kids, Pastor. Thank you. Pastor Clarence has a lot of kids. Hey, look, how many of you guys love our student pastor, Pastor Clarence? Anyone in here love this guy? I did student ministry for over a decade, and I never did anything like this guy does. And he just got back from a youth camp, one of our favorite camps. And I had him come up, because I thought, man, yeah, how many of you guys want to hear some testimonies of what God's doing in the kids? Anyone in here? Come on.
All right, man. First of all, can we just make some noise for Jesus real quick? If you can't tell by my voice, we had a great time at summer camp. Great competition, but more importantly, some really amazing testimonies of what God did this entire week of camp. And I got two really, really important ones that I want to share. So there was a, I believe it was the second night we were there, and the pastor at the time was talking about the story of David and talked about how the Spirit of God baptized David and stayed with him for forever, for the entirety of his life. And so at the end of it, we began to pray for an extensive amount of time for the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the kids that were in this in that room and on this generation, because one of the things that this generation is missing is the knowledge of God. It's the knowledge of who God is in their life and the baptism of the Holy Spirit to give them the power necessary to change their generation. And so we were praying on behalf of these students, and the testimony from our church is that three of our students were baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Yeah, I don't know if you understand how big of a deal that is. Because I wish I was 13, 14, 15 years old with the understanding of who the Holy Spirit is in my life and the power that he equips me with to change the world. I wish I knew. The second testimony is on the third night. The pastor was talking about David. He had a series on David the entire week. And he was talking about David and how David was a man after God's own heart, yet and still he had unsurrendered sin in his life. And so on our third night, we got the opportunity to pull our kids to the side. And they were asking the Holy Spirit, what are the things that are in my heart that I have yet to surrender to God, like completely and fully? And in that moment, man, it was a beautiful moment of these 11 and 12, 14 and 17-year-olds pouring out their heart to God of things that they have yet to surrender in that moment. Things like depression and anxiety and worry and unforgiveness. Things that you would think at their age wouldn't be. Things like same-sex attraction, laying it at the feet of the Father. With no conviction. Believing fully what the scripture says, that when you confess your sins one to another, and there is prayer, and then there is healing, not condemnation. Healing. And so I just want to celebrate what God has done this entire week in these kids' lives, what he's doing in this church, in these kids' lives, how he's transforming them in these moments, not to be sold out believers on fire for Christ later on in their lives, but to be sold out now, to be on fire now, to fall in love with who he is now so that they can change their schools, change their environments, for some of them change their homes because they're the only believers in the house. And so, one last time, can we give it up for Jesus for what he's doing in the lives of these kids?
Man, oh man, oh man. Father, we pray over those children that you continue to move in them. I don't know if you guys know this, our student ministry is not so we can get your kids saved. Our student ministry is so we could partner with you to show them in the way that they should go. And I want to say this to all my parents in here. I'm going to encourage you on something. Get your kids into church every moment you can. And I'm saying this because I don't know if you know this, but the enemy is a lion who's looking to devour those who are weak. And I want you to be someone who recognizes that when there's an opportunity for your kids to be in church, take it, because the world is open 24/7 to those kids. And if they got phones and they got iPads and they got the internet, believe me, they are seeing things you don't know they're seeing. Yeah. So I want to encourage you, parents, get your kids into church. We're trying to partner with you. We're not trying to do it for you. Amen? Amen. And one last thing before I get into this, I want all my men to stand up real quick. All my men, if you're a man, stand up. If you don't think you're a man, but you are a man, stand up. Yeah. I want to commend you. Men. I'm going to do this for the next few weeks. I don't know how long I'm going to do this for. But what I know is that the Spirit of the Lord wants to work through you in your homes, in your job, and in your life. And I want to encourage you to be leaders in your home. Wives, can I get a good amen? Amen. Some of the wives are going to say amen. We'll get you. I want to encourage you to be men who are striving in the Word of God. I want you to be men who do not put prayer to the side. Listen, I know you could see it in homes. Homes are falling apart when it comes to Christianity. And I'm not going to put it on the mother. I want to put it on the fathers in the house. I want to put it on the men in the house. You have an obligation. You have a responsibility to lead your home. It's in the scriptures. It says that you're supposed to be the head. I want to say something to you, men. I've been praying for you, but this is what I'm praying. Father, let them see the weight that you've put upon them. Father, let them see the responsibility that you put upon them. Do not let them be slack anymore. Do not let them consume themselves with fame and being in the gates. Rather, Father, let them be men who are led by the Spirit. I'm going to tell you right now, first to the single men. Single men, I know you want to get married. Can I get an amen? I get it. But let me tell you a little secret. Women of God are looking for men who are deep diving in the scriptures and set in prayer and fasting. Stop chasing the desires of your heart. Start chasing the one who will give you the desires of your hearts. To the ones who are married, I want to say something to you. Stop avoiding the fight and giving in to direction you know you shouldn't be going in. Start standing on, I want the Word of God to be my direction. Not what's easiest, not what's the least amount of fight, but Father, what do you say? Now I'm saying this because I'm calling you guys up. I've had a heart. You heard me say this before to the men. I've had a heart that I got shook up 2 years ago. I started praying for the men in our church, the fathers, the husbands, the single guys, the old guys, the young guys. I've been praying for you because I see something. Because you won't carry the mantle of what God's called you to do with the scriptures, what God's called you to do with preaching and teaching, what the Lord's called you to do in ministry in your home and your workplace. Because of that, there's been a broken part of the church. The function of the church has been messed up. So I've been praying, Father, reveal it to them. I'm gonna pray right now over you. But this is why I'm gonna pray, that you'd have the revelation of your role. Secondly, I'm gonna pray that you would rely on the Holy Spirit to fulfill it. Can I pray that over you, men? Father, I pray right now over every man in this house. Lord, I pray that, Father, they feel Jesus, the responsibility that you gave to them, God, the partnership that you have with them, that Jesus, you would strengthen them. Oh, Father, I rebuke the fear of failure, and God, I rebuke shame in the name of Jesus right now. And Father, I pray for courage in your word. I pray, Father, for strength over them. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead my brothers, that they might lead those around them. And that, Father, you would encourage them today that, Jesus, they're not just a bunch of people on a flying rock. They were created, Father, to partner with you. God, I pray this over your sons. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And in light of looking like a sexist, women, I got nothing for you. I love you. Sit down, guys. No, I do got something for you, girls. I do want to say this to my married women. There's a curse in the book of Genesis chapter 3. My mom always tells me this, not because I'm a woman, but anytime before I got married, she's always telling me this, Tommy, you got to recognize something. The curse on the woman was that she would desire man, but they would rule over them. I want to say this to my wives in this house. To the wives, not to the single women, to the wives, I want you to know something. You might be smarter than your husband. Can I get an amen? That was a good bit of amens. I want you to speak to him. You have great wisdom. Talk to him. You have great understanding. Tell your husband the revelations you're having in the scriptures. Tell him what you know. Help him make decisions. Encourage him to lead in your home. One more thing, though. Do not make him feel like he's worthless. You make him feel like he's worthless, he will be worthless. Don't talk down. Stop beating him up with your words. If you beat up your husband with your words, or you're complaining at him all the time, I just want to encourage you, woman. Be someone, you want a good, I mean, I don't know if you could testify to this. There's women in this house that could testify to this. You want a husband that leads well, let him lead you. Let him lead you. It's scary as heck. I'm glad I'm not a woman. I'm going to just be honest with you. But I want you to just see the scriptures that the Father isn't trying to make you submissive in the sense that you just go along with anything. He's saying, I want you to be someone who lets him take the failure. I will hold him accountable. To my single ladies, you want a holy man? I'm going to say this. There's a holy man. His name is Christ, and he wants to draw you in. And you don't need to dress yourself up. It says in scriptures, you don't have to. Listen, I love makeup. It's beautiful, whatever. I love earrings, but I love what it says in scriptures. Don't concern yourself with that. Concern yourself with the inside heart. Adorn yourself in the scriptures of God. Now, listen, I meant to just do this for a few minutes. I just did it for a few minutes. I want to just say this to all my women in the house. God speaks to you. Listen to him and share it. Time out. Actually, one more thing, because there's a lot of things with women I got to address. One, the ruling woman who wants to rule her home. Let your husband do it. The second one, the woman who's too afraid to speak up because she doesn't understand the scriptures. Women, I need you to hear me something. My greatest teacher in my life was my mother. My greatest teacher in my life was my mother. My second greatest teacher was my wife. Church, women, you have the wisdom of God. Speak up. Women, you have the wisdom of God. Prophesy. Come on, I'm not even trying to preach on this. And we'll get to this later. We'll talk about what the scripture says in Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, Corinthians chapter 3. I don't got time, so we're going to fly through this thing. We're not going to fly through it. We're just going to end early on it. We'll pick it up next week. But I want to say this to the women in the church. You've read a few scriptures, and it made you shut your mouth so you wouldn't speak when you feel like it's time to speak. I want to encourage you. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice, amen? All right. Dang, Pastor Tommy's coming off hot. That was good. Thank you, Dad. I got my dad's approval. Gabe, sucker, what's up, dude? I'm his favorite son. All right. Chapter 3, we're reading Corinthians. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, thank you. Listen, I'm going to read now the NLT. I'm not going to make it through this chapter. I already know it, and I want to say this to you. I fell into some conviction years ago that the Word of God is powerful enough for the church to catch on fire. How many guys believe that the Word of God's enough? And I used to have this thing that I had to preach good sermons. I got to make sure you guys are having fun. But I think the whole church has shifted. I think we're done with going to church and having a fun time. I think we all go, if this thing's real, then give us the real thing. Yeah, anyone in here agree to that? And so we're going to read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm reading out the NLT, and I'm going to stop a lot. But if you have your Bibles, grab a pen. I want you to mark this up. Because in this first verse, he says, dear brothers and sisters. I'm stopping right there, first three words. We are not buddies. We're not friends. We're brothers and sisters in this house. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because I think a lot of us kind of scour the church to see who's going to be our friend. And so what we do is we kind of have this little standoffishness where we go, you know, like, I like this person, but they're not my kind of people. How many of you guys got your kind of people? Anyone in here got your kind of people? Liars. I know you do. I got my kind of people too. And they're not that cool, honestly, but to me, they're cool. They play chess and stuff like that. I love those guys. Now, listen. We're not coming to church to be buddy-buddy. We are in the church together because we are brothers and sisters. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I don't want us to get confused. When you walk into church, it's not like a friendship where if they do you wrong, you cut it off. It's like a brotherhood. If they do you wrong, you got to make it up because you're in the family together. Now, how many of you guys have ever been to a family reunion when there's a little bit of drama amongst the family? How many of you guys have ever been a part of that? Man, it stinks, and you know it stinks. It's nasty. Family drama, there is, to me, there's nothing more like embarrassing and nothing more annoying than family drama. Church is not supposed to be friendship, club, hangout. Church is supposed to be brothers and sisters, family reunion. That means when you have an offense in your heart, you don't go to church with it. You don't go to the altar with it. You go to your brother with it. And you say, you know what? Before I can even worship, before we get in time of reunion, I want to make sure that there's no drama, because it says in the scriptures, the Father won't receive your offering if you come in with offense in your heart. He says, if you offended your brother or your sister and you're fighting this fight, he says, I'm not going to receive from you. Church, it is not a bunch. I say this every week. Church isn't about the message. Church isn't about the worship. How many guys could listen to that stuff on your phone? Some of y'all right now, let's do it on your phone right now on live stream. Church is about gathering together with your brothers and sisters. Look to your brother and sister and say, what up? Just say what up to them. You are here with them today, brothers and sisters. Actually, let me just say one more thing. I don't think Christ calls us to call each other brothers and sisters because it was cool. I think he calls us to call brothers and sisters because you and I innately know what it means to be blood. We know what it means. We know that there's a closeness in brothers and sistershood that can only be brought by one thing, being born together. And I think that a lot of us, we do this thing. We go to church, but then we got our friends. And a lot of us don't have friends. Some of us, our friend group isn't even Christian. A lot of us, our friends are outside of Christianity. And so what we have is we have this duality going on. We have our church family that we go and we sing songs, kumbaya. We listen to a sermon for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. We listen to a sermon, and then we go home. But when you're a brother or sister, I'm going to just tell you right now, my brother and my sisters, Hannah, Micah, my brother Gabe, Haley, I got 11 of them. I'm not going to name all of them. All my brothers and sisters, let me tell you a little secret. They could come to my house unannounced, and it's a joy to me. They could come into my house, and it's a joy to me. If they came to me and said, hey, Tommy, I need $100. If I got $100, it's like a no-brainer. Don't even pay me back. If there's a need in the home, if there's a need with any of my brothers and sisters, we come together. You know what we do? We say, how can we fulfill this need? You know what the early church did? Just that. Well, that's my brother. That's my sister. And let me go a little bit further. And that's my son. Giddy, what's up, dude? He just turned 5, and all of a sudden, something changed in him, man. Yeah. He was just going. Your brothers and sisters. I want to say one more thing. I say this to a lot of you, but I don't think I've ever had to say it on the stage. I got family members who don't know Christ. They're not my brother and my sister. You are. That's a crazy statement. I love them, but they come into my house unannounced. I'm on edge. They don't know the Lord. You come to my house unannounced. I'm tripping a little bit. You know, a little bit I'm tripping. But for those who are really walking with the Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, I know that you're my brother. I could trust you. That means when you're my brother and my sister, I could trust you with my children. You're called to be brothers and sisters. And Paul goes on, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with one another. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? Let me show you what the scripture says maturity is. How many of you guys want to be a mature Christian? Anyone in here want to be a mature Christian? Yeah, a few of you. How many of you guys want to grow in maturity? Anyone in here want to grow in maturity? Look at what the scripture says about maturity, man. Maturity is having control over your sinful nature. I want to say that again. Maturity is not how long you've been in church. Maturity is not how much you know about the scripture. Maturity in Christ is how much control you have over your sinful nature. You know why that's a big deal? Because I got a lot of people who come to church and they listen to sermons and they listen to preachers and they listen to people talk and they check out. And you know why? Because they go, I already know this. I've heard people say this. The sermon, like, I'm more mature than that sermon. I always look at them and think, I don't know if you're more mature than that sermon. I'm going to be real with you. You've heard this story. I've done that. I've gone to preaching. I listened to a guy and I go, dude, you could have preached anything. You're going to preach on that. Come on. We're all mature Christians. One time, no joke, I may have told you this story. I don't know. I went to a pastor's conference. It's all pastors. And the guy who was speaking, nice guy, he was speaking about Jesus dying on the cross. I'm thinking, bro, we're all pastors. We all know this sermon. I was really hoping you would come with some heat, you know what I'm saying? I was hoping you'd come in with some fresh revelation. And I remember the Lord just correcting me that it wasn't his preaching that was the problem. It was actually my own heart was the problem. I couldn't receive from him. And I want to say this to every believer in the room. I know this to be true, and I've tested it out in my own heart. There is not a sermon from the Word of God that you cannot glean from if you are a person who's mature in the faith. Can I say that again? Someone who's mature in the faith will glean from every message from the Bible. And I know this to be true because I read this Bible 2 times every single year. And every time I read it, I get more and more revelation. I'm reading the same thing. I'm getting more and more revelation. Church, you are not above any other sermon. You're not above it. If anything, it's just your heart has gotten cold. And you need to be people who say, Father, humble me. I don't know why I went down that road. I'm talking about maturity. Maturity is having control over your sinful nature. One of my favorite sermons I ever saw. Have you guys ever heard of a guy named Francis Chan? Anyone in here have heard of a guy, Francis Chan? I love Francie, man. That's my dude. He changed my life. But one of the sermons he did at his church is he had a bottle and he was just sipping a bottle, a baby bottle. And I'm not going to lie, it felt perverted. Like watching a grown man drink out of a bottle. And this is what he said. He said, man, this looks weird, right? He said, doesn't it look weird? And he's like sitting here, he's literally sipping milk out of a bottle. He's like, this looks weird, right? And he says, that's what a lot of Christians look like today. That they're still not eating the mature things that God has for them. They've been in the church for 20 years and still they have no self-control. They're still addicted to their same sin. They're still dealing with the same stupid stuff and they're just like babies on a bottle still. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, man, I came to you and I have to feed you with milk, not with solid food because you're not ready yet. Man, and you still aren't ready because you're still controlled by your sinful nature. Man, you're still jealous of one another. You still quarrel with one another. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world when one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos? Aren't you acting just like people of the world? You know how many people have not tried to fight the flesh? Instead of fighting their flesh, they decided to just get more knowledge. Do you know how many pastors are still stuck in their sin, yet they could preach some of the best sermons you've ever heard? You know how many people aren't wanting to do the bigger part of their Christian walk, which is to say, my sin nature. On Wednesday night, we preached about what Jesus says about the reality of how aggressive and serious you should be about sin. He says, man, cut off your hand, cut out your eye, like do whatever it takes to get out of sin. And there's so many of us who are going, you know what? God forgive me of my sin, so I'm just gonna start building myself up with knowledge. And listen, I love knowledge. I read books like crazy. I love knowledge, but knowledge cannot replace having discipline in your life before the Father. There's a lot of people who know God, but very few people that God knows. And we need to catch that because he says in Matthew, he says, man, if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, he says, nobody will enter in unless first you turn from your sins and second, you humble yourself like a child. Not yet you know enough about me. That's not what gets you in. Not that you know enough. Now listen, you need to know about Jesus. I want you to be in your word. I want you having knowledge, but I want you to do something. Turn from your sin. Get control of your sinful nature. Man, if you're still having a hard time, you still have hatred building up, you still have jealousies and envies building up, you still, you know, sitting in your self-pity going, man, when am I gonna get my turn? By the way, that's envy. Man, when is this gonna happen to me? If you're someone who still, listen, I'm gonna hit on a big one. You're still dealing with lust. You're still, listen, the scripture is like, then get on that. Get on that before anything else, before you start getting deeper in the word, start going, Father, I gotta get control of this thing. What do I need to do? Listen, I'm gonna tell you, everybody, there's a few people who got freed from sin as soon as they came to Christ. I love those stories. But those who were born in the church, I hear the same story every time. I don't know how to beat my addictions. And those addictions are all over. I want to make that clear. They're all over. I want to tell you, it takes hard work. You didn't think that was, you know, some of you guys have been saying, Father, make my sin go away. And you thought it was this magic pill, and you kept wondering every time you fall into sin, why you kept falling into sin. You keep saying, Father, if you would just fix it. I want to just tell you something. You need to get control of your sinful nature, and it's going to put up a fight with you. So you got to start going to war. And I'm just going to tell you, war is exhausting. War is a lot of trying. Going to war to make control of your sin nature is a lot of fight. But I want to be the first one to tell you, you need to put the work in if you want to put sin into the grave. If you want to bury your flesh on a day-to-day basis, it's not going to go down because you told it to. It's only going to go down because you wrestled it down. And I'm saying this because I want you to be people who are mature in the faith. I don't know, we're going to read this in a second, but there's revelation that God has for you, but he can't give it to you yet. You ever thought about that? There's secrets that God has, but he can't give it to you yet because you're still controlled by your sinful nature. Let that sit for a second. There's deeper revelation that you don't even know about. There's secrets that God has for you. Let that be your drive. Father, I want to lay down my sinful nature. Father, I don't want to look like the world anymore. How many of you guys are sick of the church looking just like the world? Anyone in here? Yeah, me too. But four of us? I'm sick of seeing the world and the church being the same. I don't know about you, but I want to be a group of people who say, Father, my sin nature doesn't even have a hold on me anymore. I'm yours. I turned from my sin. Verse 5, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work, for we both are God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. I just look at the time. These are the last verses we're going through, y'all. I hardly got to preach today. Get out of here. Paul addressing people trying to make cliques within the church. Yeah, but, you know, I got baptized by Paul. First chapter 1, he said, I didn't baptize any of you. Whoever's saying that's a liar. That guy's going, yeah, but Apollos baptized me. And, you know, they're looking around and they're going, man, all these people. But Paul just points out and says, I don't think you understand. We're just servants. Now, have you guys ever been to a restaurant? One time, you guys been to a restaurant. Why didn't no one raise their hand? You've all been to restaurants, right? That's not a secret. That's a real, everyone does that, I think, right? Is that like a secret life I live? I went to this place. I don't know what it was called. It was in Tennessee. And it was this barbecue spot. It was almost during Christmas. And I walked in, and I'm talking to the waiting staff, and they're sweet. I like them. They're really, really great people. But as we walked out, I said to a guy, because it was like 2 days before Christmas, I said, hey, man, Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great Christmas. And he, like, stopped, and he looked at me. He's like, wow, thank you. It's like, yeah. Yeah, I was like, what am I, elf? Like, this is incredible. What's happening? There's so much Christmas magic happening between us. And he's like, hey, can I show you something? I said, yeah. And I didn't know what he was going to show me. And he walks me back into the restaurant. He said, come back to the kitchen. I found out he was the owner of the restaurant. And he's like, hey, I want you to show you something. He opened up all of his smokers. He's like, put your hand in there. It's only 200 degrees. I'm like, oh, this is neat. Touching everyone's food, you know, it was fun. I really did, actually. I'm not joking. Now that I think about that, that's actually messed up. I did that, though. He's like, hey, I want you to try. And he started giving me all this food out of there. And it was an incredible time. Like, I haven't forgotten that. I could still see that guy's face in my head. But when it came to the waiting staff, I have no idea who they were. I can't even remember them. You know why? Because when you meet the owner, the rest of them are just people, and they're nice enough. I'm not saying they don't have any value. But man, the owner was a big deal to me. And in the same way, he's going, hey, bro, I'm just the waiting staff of someone who has a bigger establishment than me. That's all I am. And he's looking at me going, man, we're just the servants. Or maybe your scripture says, I'm just the vessel. You got it, buddy? I'm just the vessel. You know, my wife hates when I buy her flowers. She hates it because it's basically work. I didn't know that. Because you bring the flowers in. I didn't know you're supposed to cut them and put them in a vase. I would just bring them, you know, wrapped in a rubber band and everything, hand them to her. And I thought that was nice. And she's like, no, I don't want to do that. She's, you know, she doesn't really care that much about flowers. And so, I you know, now I put the flowers in the vase and I set it up nice for her. But you know what's funny about doing that? No one cares about the vase. The flowers are the price. The vase is just a vessel. And nobody in their right mind goes and buys beautiful flowers and then puts it in a vase and then makes sure the vase is like the most beautiful thing in the world. That would be crazy. That's just a vessel to show off the flowers. But you know what I've noticed in the church? A lot of us are trying to dress up the vase really nice so that the thing that's supposed to be glorified, the flowers, look better. Does that make sense? That we got really caught up in dressing up the vessel. And Paul's going, brother, sister, I'm just a vessel of the good news. The good news are the flowers inside of me. The good news are the prize. The good news that of Jesus Christ, the Lord, he's the one that's actually the attention. I'm just a vessel. Too many people are trying to dress themselves up and make themselves look better because they don't have the gospel shining enough through them. Let me tell you a little secret. You want to be a beautiful display of the glory of God? Get the Holy Spirit to shine through you. It's not going to be by the way you dress. It's not going to be by the way you speak. We read this earlier. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit revealing himself through you. He says, yo, I'm just a vessel, just servants. I mean, I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered. What he's saying is, I told you it. Apollos kind of taught you more on it. But man, the important part is that God made it grow. It's not important who did the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. This morning while we're praying, and this is where I got to end on this. When we're praying, we're praising the Father and we're lifting up our voice. We're telling God how good he was. I couldn't stop telling him, Jesus, it wasn't my studying. It wasn't my endeavors. It wasn't me taking classes. That's not what gave me revelation. Holy One, you're the one who brought increase in my life. You know why I started praying that, giving him thanks? Because too many of us think that our history in ministry or our history in church is the thing that caused us to grow. I want to push that to the side. No, it ain't. I know too many people who've been in the church for 20 years and haven't grown an inch. No, the thing that causes you to grow is the Spirit of the Lord. And you want, some of us are going, I want more growth. And you're looking everywhere except prayer. You're looking everywhere except submission to the Holy Spirit. You're reading every book you can. You're looking at everything you can. But the Lord's going, no. I'm the one who brings the increase. Those authors, I love them. I want to say it again. I read books. You guys don't want to know. Get on my Goodreads. You can see what I read. I read crazy books. I love books. But that's not what's making me grow. Only the Holy Spirit does that. You might be planting, you might be watering, but the Father brings the increase. Then he goes on in verse 8. He says, man, the one who plants and the one who water, they work together with the same purpose. I got to talk to you really quick about all these haters on pastors and Christians. I know that there's false teachers out there. And they need to be corrected. I absolutely believe that those false teachers should be corrected. But some of us aren't understanding that they're not just planting seeds, maybe they're watering. And watering's those who make disciples. Watering's the ones who are going in and diving into the scriptures and they're saying, no, more and more. But there's a group of people, and I'm gonna be real with you, there's this one pastor I don't agree with at all. His name, he's in Atlanta, his name's Andy Stanley. But I know people who went to his church and got radically saved from his teachings. And they were coming to our church, and they moved away, but they were coming, and they were deeply in love with Jesus. And I used to say, and I used to think like, oh, don't be under this person. Don't be under this person. Listen, I want to correct something. There's false teachings. Don't get into false teachings. But Paul says something, or I'm sorry, Peter says something in the book of Peter. He says, man, I know there's people out there, and there, or Paul says, I don't know who says it, but someone says it. It's in the Bible. Just look it up. He says, man, there's people out there preaching Jesus. Check how wicked this is. Preaching Jesus. To make it look like the message is going further than it really is. They're preaching his name so that their intent is so that I would be put in jail. That means there's people out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with hearts to get Peter or Paul into trouble, put them into jail. They were wicked. But you know what he says about them? He says, that's what I'm talking about. Out of the lips of the wicked, the praise of God is coming out. Oh, they're preaching Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Their intent is wicked. They're foolish. But look at, they're preaching Jesus. Surely they will convert people. Oh, surely they'll convert people. And I love what he says. He says, man, the one who plants and the one who waters, they have the same purpose. It isn't about what pastor's better, what preacher's better. No. Their purpose is the same. Jesus, be glorified. I love that he says this because he's pointing something out to you and I even today. And I could actually cap everything in a 1 and 2. Paul's pointing out, man, don't get caught up in your favorite pastors. Don't get caught up in whether or not Mike Todd's illustrations are going to glorify God or not. Stop. He says, look, they got a purpose. The purpose is to get Jesus' name out. Yeah, but Pastor Tommy, what if they're wicked? Praise God that they keep preaching Jesus. Listen, their sin is not going to cause people to turn away. It's not the thing that brought people to Jesus. The thing that brings people to Jesus is his Holy Spirit. Let them preach the word. Let them get up there. They're both will be rewarded for their hard work. And it goes on. And I got to say, I got to get to this. I'm sorry, but I got to get to this. I'm just going to skip down to verse 12. He says, man, I got this foundation. And he says, it may use anyone who builds a foundation will use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewel, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. This is to the preachers and the teachers. He says, the fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder, he'll be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the walls of flames. I love that he says, man, I'm coming to you guys. I'm preaching to you. I'm laying down the foundation. And man, I got a great foundation, but there's not a better foundation than Christ. And he says, just a heads up, anyone who builds on this, anyone who teaches and preaches on this thing, anyone who gets into this, it's like someone building. And he says, some people are going to come with gold, real heavy, real valuable things. Some people will come with, diamonds and jewels and silver. And some people are going to come with this wood and hay. And he said, everything will be tested. Man, all those teachings and preachings, all these people who are watering, all these people who are seeding, he says, they will be tested in the day of judgment. And he says, listen, some of them are going to burn up, barely escaping the flames. I don't know who's out there doing the wacko stuff. I know some of them. I know what Andy Stanley said that I disagree with 100%. I don't think it's in the scriptures. I know what other pastors have said that I don't agree with. And we pray for them. We say, Father, help them stop building on the foundation with wood and hay. Father, I pray that you give them new revelation that, God, they would start preaching with gold and silver, treasures from heaven. Too many of us are going, yelling at them like, I love it when people are coming at Mike Todd. Listen, I like him, I guess. I don't know. But people, I just watched a whole video about how Mike Todd's missing it, whatever. I always look at this guy and go, well, why aren't you praying for them? Come on, pray that their works wouldn't be burnt up. Not rejoice. You know how many people rejoice when pastors get called out? They go, oh, finally someone's calling them out. And no one's going, Father, help them, Jesus. Let them be who are preaching and teaching. Pray for them, God, that they would lay down foundations of gold and silver, not hay, not straw, not things that will be burnt up. But God, pray for revelation over them. Man, if you've been in the service and you've been looking at the pastors And I don't care if you've done this to me, but I'm talking about my brothers and sisters out there, and you've been roasting them. Can I just tell you something? Will you do me a favor? Instead of roasting them, will you start praying, Father, I see that what they just said is going to burn up on Judgment Day. Father, will you give them gold and silver to lay out before you? Father, will you give them conviction? Actually, could you do even something greater? Going back to verse 1, will you start treating the church like your brothers and your sisters, that you would actually care deeply for them, not drawing lines saying, oh, you in or out, but going, oh, Father, help this person. I see that they're in sin. Help this person, like the book of Jude. Father, I'm going to reach out and grab them as if pulling them from the fire. Oh man, could you imagine if the church became people who are no longer concerned about what we look on the outside, but go, Father, I want your glory to be shown through me. Oh, help me see my brothers and my sisters. Help me see those who are preaching and teaching. Let me see those who are laying foundational work as theologians and teachers and pastors. Father, I pray for them like my brother. Oh, move in them. I know people who are making pastors, who are mega pastors, their enemy because they nitpick what they say and they're not praying for them like a brother or a sister in the Lord. Could you imagine what the church would look like? Could you imagine what would happen if you and I got to our knees at night and said, Father, there's great preachers and teachers out there. They're filling up stadiums right now. Oh, Father, protect them. Give them, God, treasures to lay on the foundation of you, Holy One. Imagine if our church, just one church, just 150 people, oh, Father, do this over these pastors. Imagine if we did that. Imagine what would happen if it wasn't just our church. What if all the churches started coming together and going, oh, God, our brothers and our sisters, Holy One, you're the one who causes increase. Move in them right now, Holy Jesus. What if we started praying over congregations? Holy God, will you move in that congregation? They're seeding and they're watering, but Holy One, you bring increase. Increase the congregation. What if we got a view of the church beyond a brand name, beyond the Dream Center or whatever church is out there, and we just said, no, man, God, we pray for our brothers and our sisters. Increase. Increase, increase. Could you imagine? You know, we talked about chasing revivals last week, but let me just tell you, could you imagine the revival that would happen in the church if you and I started praying for our brothers and sisters? If you and I started praying for those who are laying down foundations, oh, Holy God, move in them. I got to end. I got through what, 10 verses or something like that? I was supposed to get through chapter 4. I want you to stand to your feet, can you? Close your eyes. Today's prayer was that something would break inside of us. That's what I was praying all day. That's what I was praying last night. That the Father would use the message, the worship, to break something inside of us. And I don't know what that is. Maybe the breaking is that you start seeing your brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters. Maybe that breaking is that you would no longer dress up the vessel, but you would be seeking the Holy Spirit to shine through you. Like a vase and flowers, you say, no, I want the Holy One to be glorified in my life. Maybe it was you're in this house and you've been someone who's been divisive. And the Lord's saying, when are you going to seek for their goodness? When are you going to pray for them to call them forward? Or maybe you're in this house and you are a man who hasn't been leading. Or maybe you're a woman who hasn't been speaking up. Or maybe you're in this house and it was the first time that you got to see someone actually dance because they were so excited about the glory of Jesus. I don't know what part of today, because today was a pretty packed day. I don't know what part of it was, but this is what I want to pray over you if you're down for it. I want to pray over anyone in this house who's going, I don't feel like God broke me yet. I still feel a little cold towards him. If you're in this house at all, and you've been in this room, and it's been church, and it's been fine, and it's been good, and it's just been your normal Sunday, and you haven't had that breaking where you're going, man, God, I'm yours all the way today. And this, I usually pray the sermon over you, but today the theme was not just the sermon. The theme was, Holy One, will you take us to the place of great humility today? For Father, we want to receive from you. God, we want to read the word and it come alive to us. So if you're in this house and you're going, man, I think I still need to be broken a little bit more. If you're in this house and you're going, man, I think that I don't know, man, there's something still that's in the way. I just got to get it out. Maybe it's that part where we talked about the maturity and not having self-control yet. Maybe you're going, man, I'm still struggling with that. Whatever it is, if you're in this house, you're going, man, I need that breaking point to hit me. I want you to put your hand up real high. Father, you see these hands, the many, many hands. Father, I pray right now over my brothers and my sisters, the ones whom I love, Jesus, the one that you, Jesus, have called forth in your spirit, the ones, God, in this room, Jesus, that you know by name. Father, I pray right now, Holy One, you see their hands. They're surrendering to you right now, saying, Father, I don't think I have the fullness yet. I want the fullness. God, whatever it is, Jesus. Oh, God, this is like a vague prayer because, Holy One, I just know there's so many complex confusion and lies that have been set in the minds of men. I'm praying right now, Holy One, will you speak to my brothers and my sisters? Oh, Father, I pray that right now, Jesus, they hear you. I pray that brokenness happens inside their heart, Jesus, that they might start receiving revelation again. Oh, Father, I pray the maturity of the Spirit upon them, God, that they would start having control over their sins. Oh, God, I pray right now, Father, that the divisiveness that they felt, Jesus, would be gone. But I pray, Father, that they wouldn't see church as a bunch of random people, but they'd start seeing them as brothers and sisters. Oh, God, I pray over the men and the women that, Father, you would call them to their rightful places again. That, Jesus, every hand that's in this house, God, right now, wherever that, whatever they're going through, right now, God, that you would start breaking them, Jesus. Let them hear you and know you, Holy One. Father, I pray also that today when they go home, that whatever seed's been planted, Holy One, bring increase today. Bring increase over my brothers and my sisters. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You can put your hands down because I got one more thing, though. Keep your heads bowed. If you're in this house and you never give your life to the Lord, brother, sister, I want to invite you in today. The Father wants you. And maybe you gave your life to the Lord one time, and you walked away, and today you found yourself in this little old warehouse. I want to tell you something. He will receive you back today. So if you're in this house and you've never given your life to the Lord, or maybe at some point in your life you did give your life to the Lord, but you've walked away and you want to come home today, I want to give you an opportunity to follow after Jesus. I'm not going to make you come up on the stage. No one's even going to see you. This is just right now between you and the Father. If you're in this room and you want to give your life to Jesus, I just want to put your hand up real high for me. Come on. Come on, I see a young lady. Yeah, come on, I got you, big bro. Come on. Come on, I got you. Come on. Listen, if you can hear my voice, I just want you to listen to me. We're going to do a simple prayer. This prayer can mean everything or it can mean nothing. It's up to you. And the prayer is just, God, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Now, when I was a young man, I prayed this prayer, and it set my course for the rest of my life. In fact, all these people in this room have probably said a prayer similar to this at one point. I want to make this clear. This prayer doesn't change you. What changes you is whether or not you want to mean this prayer. So I want to encourage you. We're all going to say this prayer together. I'm going to have you repeat it after me. But I don't want you just to say it with some empty words. I want you to say it from the bottom of your heart. Church, can we all say this prayer together? Because maybe there was someone in the house who didn't have the courage. Will you guys repeat after me? Dear Father, come into my life. Transform me. Make me new. I believe you died on the cross and you rose again. I believe that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one day you're coming back for your people. Let me be your people today. So God, I ask that you come into my heart and make my life yours. I give it to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. It says in Scripture.